Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Sama, Daf Ayin, Daf Samach Tes. I'm sorry. We will begin on Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph, the first word Shama Aviv Hefala. Today's shir is dedicated for Zchus, for Fu Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Our Gemara is in the middle of trying to understand the mechanics of the hafara of a father and a husband. As we began our perek, the Mishnah taught us the Nara Marasa. We have a woman who's a Nara Marasa of here in the Dereha. That a husband, her Oris, and a husband and a father together are mefid in the Dorim. And the question the Gemara posed is, how do we understand that joint effort? Do we say that Megas Gaius, that the person who does the first hafara is actually diminishing the nether, that means cutting it, Megas Gaius, or do we say Miklish Kalish? And as we explained in the previous year, as the Gemara explained in the previous year, what is the nafkamina between these two approaches? The nafkamina between these two approaches we learned was, if the first person did a hafara, and let's say the nether was that a person's not going to eat, they made a nether that they're not going to eat two kazesim. A woman made a nether that they're not going to eat two kazesim. And the father was made for that nether. What does that mean? Does that mean that one kazais remains in force and one kazais is now no longer usur? What does it mean that the entire afara weakened the entire nether? And as the Gemara explained, the nafkamina would be if the woman ate one kazayis. If we say megas gaius, so she ate a kazayis of a food that she may not eat, and therefore she would be chayiv, we discussed in a previous year, a carbon or malchus. But if, on the other hand, we learn that the way to understand is miklish kalish, it weakened the entire nether, so now this nether doesn't have the same status as a regular nether. And of course, a regular nether, if one violates the nether, sometimes is a chiyuv malchus, sometimes is a chiyuv carbon, here there wouldn't be a chiyuv carbon. And in order to answer this question, the Gemara referenced a Mishnah that we're going to be learning in our coming Shir Mitzvah Shem on Daf Ayin, the concept of Nisroikna, that if, as we said, the husband, the Oris, and the father are partners. If the husband dies, and we've been discussing, the Bryce has been discussing what the circumstances are, but under certain circumstances, Nisroikna Rishus Leav, that the portion, the right that he had to be mefer, now since he's no longer here, reverts back to the father. And the Bryce of which we are in the middle of learning gives us many illustrations where we say Nisroikna and where we don't say Nisroikna. And now we approach the last example that the Braisa offers. Shamavia, where the father heard and the nether that his daughter made, Vehefala, and he was made for that nether, Vlehispa Gabala Shmaya, and then the husband never had an opportunity to hear the nether that his Arusa made, Achemes, until he passes away, Chayzo Av, or may for Chelka Shabal. The father goes and is made for the portion that the husband should have been made for. And there's many chidushim in this Mishnah, in this case. First of all, we're learning here that even though the father had once done hafara, he could do on his shear of the nether, he could still now do hafara on the husband's shear of the nether. And we don't say that it's impossible to do hafara on the same nether twice. That's one element of the chiddush in this braisa. The other element is that even though the father had done hafara already, so we would think perhaps that now the husband is not here, so he obviously is unable to do his hafara. So maybe we should assume that the father's original hafara should be adequate. Teaches us the Braisa that it's not adequate. And if the father now wants to and has actually the authority through the concept of Nisroikna to be made for the portion of the husband, he has to be made for it. And the fact that he originally was made for his part of the nether will not be sufficient to be made for, he has to be made for the part of the husband. In fact, there's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that not only must the father be made for and can't just rely on his original afara, but he has to be made for the husband's portion. But moreover, the portion that he was made for at the beginning, he has to redo. And we spoke about this concept consistently in our previous shiur. Because the father's original afara, even though it did take care of his portion, was a weaker afara. It was an afara that only covers part of the nether. And therefore, since it was a weaker afara, it's not an afara, and at that time there was no need for such afara, that could cover the entire nether. And therefore, since it's not a nether that could cover the, it's not afara that has to cover the entire nether, now the father has to do a full-fledged afara. And in this new full-fledged afara that he's doing after the ptira of the oris, will be for the Oris's portion, who unfortunately is no longer here to do his portion, and also to redo the hafara to redo his original hafara, which now turns out to be an inadequate hafara. The Rashba points out the Braisa just spoke about a case for the hispik abal lishmaya atshemes. The husband never heard of the nether until he passed away. And that's when the father takes over his shear. Says the Rashba, the same halacha would apply even if the husband did hear of the nether, but he didn't do anything with what he heard, and then before he did anything, he passed away. But he does quote that the Rishonim, that only in a case if the husband never heard the nether is the halacha as we just stated. But if the husband had actually heard the nether and he didn't do anything, it may be that the father will not have the ability to do hafara, to do a total hafara after the husband's patira. But again, we're learning the braisa simple, that whether the husband had heard the nether or not heard the nether, if he passed away, and the father could redo the entire hafara. Amar Rav Nosson, so says Rav Nosson, regarding this case that we just studied, Hein Hein Devar Beis Shammai. This represents the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim, however, the opinion of Beis Hillel, Ein Yochel Hafer. He can't do Hafara. Because the only time, says Beis Hillel, we apply the concept of Nisroikna is by a full-fledged nether, by a nether that its strength has never been weakened. However, the nether that we just discussed in our shear is a nether which is weakened. The reason it was weakened is because the father had already done a hafara in his portion. Since the nether that we are now looking at is a weak nether, such a nether cannot be passed on to the father to take over the shear of the husband. And the explanation is that we only could apply the concept, says Beis Hillel, of Nisroikna only in a case where the nether has its full strength. But in a case where the nether loses its strength, even though, say, most Rishonim, that the father, when he's going to do the Hafara, will do a full-fledged Hafara. He'll redo the Hafara that he did at the beginning. It doesn't make a difference. Once the nether is weakened, it's not a candidate for the Nisroikna. Beis Shammai obviously disagree. Beis Shammai's opinion is that even though the father did his Hafara, that doesn't change the nether. And it doesn't change the ability for us to say Nisroikna. And what is the basis of this Machloikis? Because according to Beis Shammai, the father, when he does his shear, his hafara, is only doing an hafara on his shear. It doesn't affect the husband's shear. And since it doesn't affect the husband's shear, therefore the halacha is, the father could do hafara on that shear, that shear that hasn't been touched. Which is another way of saying that Beis Shammai obviously subscribes to the concept of Megas Gaius, that each one only does hafara on his shear. However, the opinion of Beis Hillel is Meklish Kolish, as we just explained. That Beis Hillel's opinion is that once the father did hafara, the entire nether has become weakened, and the concept of Nisroikna cannot be applied to a nether which has been weakened. So we see, says the Gemara, Shmamina, that this question that we said, we began yesterday's shiur with already, was, is a Megas Gaius or Miklash Kalish, is actually a Machloikis of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Shmamina, Beis Shammai, his opinion is that we say Megas Gaius, and Beis Hillel's opinion is we say Miklash Kalish, and therefore that's the way to answer the question, is a Megas Gaius and Miklash Kalish? That's Machloikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Shmamina. However, in a case that the father was Mefer, the Machloikis is strictly where the father was Mefer. But what would be the case if the husband was Mefer? And he was Mefer his portion. The father was never Mefer his own portion. And then the husband passed away. Do we say Beis Hillel still holds Nisroikna? And what does it mean when we say Beis Hillel holds Nisroikna? What that means to say is that, what does that mean, Beis Hillel still holds Miklash Kolish? The husband weakened the nether, and now we just studied that any nether that gets weakened cannot have a hafara. So the Rishonim say that no. The Rishonim say that even though the husband did a hafara, but since the husband died, his entire act of hafara disappears. His act of hafara disappears upon his death, even though he did hafara before he died. And therefore the Ran would say that in this case, we don't say that the nether has been weakened. And therefore even Beis Hillel will say that we could say Miklash Kolish. That's the opinion of the Ran. The Rush doesn't make a difference. The Rush doesn't agree. And the Rush seems to say that according to Beis Hillel, we won't say Nisroikna when either one of the parties did hafara before he passed away. By Rava. So now Rava asks another question. Yesh Sheila Behekim. We've discussed many times in our Masechta the concept of Matam Neder. So a father or a husband will make him the Neder. We discussed that there are three options when the father or the husband hit a Neder. One option is that they're Mefer. And as we learned, an Oris and the father have to be Mefer together. The other option that we've been studying in our Shurim is that they confirm the Neder. And again, once one of the parties, certainly if both of the parties, will make him the nether, then the nether becomes confirmed and it can never be mufer. And then there's a concept which we really haven't discussed extensively of B'yom Shammai. B'yom Shammai is if the day that they heard the nether passes and they haven't done anything, it automatically becomes confirmed. So here the Gemara Rava discusses a situation where they will make him the nether, they confirm the nether. So how does the halacha look at that? Do we look at it as any nether? Do we look at a hakama as a situation of making a nether? And just like we know, we've learned in our masechta, that you could be matter a nether, so the halacha will be, you could be matter hakama as well. But if that's going to be the case, the nether, the halacha will be, says the Ran, that the shaila, will have to be only on the day of Shmias HaNeder. That means you heard the neder today, the father or husband heard the neder, they were making the neder, And now they want to reverse that. So the Gemara's question now is, can they reverse it? But says the Ran, the entire discussion is only if they're doing it on the day they heard the nether. But if they were making the nether, says the Ran, and then the next afterwards, and it's no, therefore no longer Yom Shammai, they want to be matter that Hakama, says the Ran, that isn't an option. The Torah disagrees. And the Torah seems to learn that the Gemara's question is, can you be matter hakama, not necessarily even on Yom Shammai? It's interesting to point out that, as we said a moment ago, there are two ways to confirm the nether. One way to confirm the nether is by actively being making it, and the other way to confirm it is by just hearing and not saying anything. So the Ran, it seems, is of the opinion that the entire discussion of our Gemara is only if you can be matter a hakama, but nobody can be matter a Yom Shammai where you heard and you didn't say anything. And Afika Yam explains, and the inherent question in understanding that is, because Sheila is only B'Yom Shammai. Silence is B'Yom Shammai. So if you want to be matter the silence, it's going to be after Yom Shammai. And the Ran's opinion is that after Yom Shammai, the entire Gemara's question doesn't exist. The Stipler has a different approach. Because again, the question here is, a Hakama is a much stronger confirmation than Yom Shammai, being quiet by Yom Shammai. So if the Gemara is suggesting that you could be Mata Hakama, which is an action, certainly you should be able to be matter being quiet. So the Stipler says that actions react to actions. When you have a Maisa Hakama, the counteract to a Maisa Hakama is a Maisa HaTorah. But being silent is not something that I actively did, that an active Shaila, an active HaTorah Snedorim could undo. Now, the question is, that what will be if we say that that you could be Matar HaKama? What will be the Halacha if you were make Mekayim, the nether, you were made for the nether, and now you did a shaila on the hakama. So at the moment you were made for, this was a nether that you cannot be made for anymore because it had the hakama. But do we suggest that since potentially you could be matter the nether, the hafar that I did now, even I did it before being matter the hakama, should be acceptable? So the Kivega says that even the Ran, who we just said, holds that you can't be matter hakama after Yom Shammai, the Ran will agree that you could be matter, you could do hakama, hafara, and then be matter nether, provided that it's all by Yom Shammai. That's the opinion of Akiva Eger. The Avni Nezer disagrees. And the Avni Nezer says that doing hafara on a nether that was already mukam, confirmed, is a meaningless act. And therefore the order must be, if you could do HaTorah on the Hakama, the order is very critical. And you'll have to do the Hakama, the HaTorah on the Hakama, and then the HaFarah will take place afterwards. There's other explanations in this question. And they explain that the question here is that perhaps everybody agrees you could be matter the hakama. And the Gemara's question here is being matter the hakama equal to hafara? And once you matter the hakama, it won't be necessary to do hafara, it's self-understood, or you'll still have to do a separate hafara. But we're going to learn the Gemara with the first pshat that we quoted. So again, by Rava, yesh sheila b'hekem or ain't sheila b'hekem? Can you be matter the hakama? And says Rava, and im tim tzolayma yesh sheila b'hekem, and if you'll suggest that you can be matter hakama, yesh sheila b'hefer If the father or the husband were made for the neder, and now they want to reverse themselves, can you do that? Can you be matter the neder that way or not? Says the Gemara, Toshma, Domer Rabbi Yochanan, Nishalom al Hekem. The Gemara says clearly, you can do a hatara on the hakama, they nishalom al hefer, but you can't do it an afara, because a hekem is you have a nether. What does the hekem do? The hekem makes a nether, and since the hekem makes the nether, so like in any case that we've been learning in Amasechta, you have a nether, and then you could be matted a nether with the hafara, with that taurus nadarim. We're going to the rav. Hafara doesn't represent making a nether. If anything, hafara actually represents just the opposite. The hafara means the annulment of a nether. The Torah, when it speaks about being matted a nether, talks about being matted in the darim. The Torah doesn't speak about any other such circumstance. And since the Torah doesn't speak about any other such circumstance, the halacha will be you can't be matter nether on afara. And in fact, the Rishonim point out that this distinction between hafara and hakama is so obvious. What was the Gemara's question? So I saw that the Rishonim explained that the Gemara is assumed or thought that since we see hafara and hakama travel in so many aspects together, that was why the Gemara thought that if you could do matan neder and hakama, you could do it on hakama and hafara as well. But the Gemara says since they're both so very different, you can't apply the same principles to both. Ask the Gemara another question. Boy Rabba, kaim lechi, if somebody after hearing the neder said, the husband, the father, said, Kaim l'chi, Kaim l'chi. He said twice that he's being makim, that he's confirming the nether. V'nishal al-kama rishayna, and then he's not the nether, the original al-kama, now that we've decided, the Gemara has decided, that you can't be matter al-kama, how will we look at the second al-kama? Do we say that when he said the second Kaim l'chi, it was a meaningless statement? Since it was a meaningless statement, it's completely ignored. And therefore, even though now it's not meaningless anymore, because now the original hakama disappeared, when it was expressed it was a meaningless statement, it remains a meaningless statement. Or do we apply a concept that we often apply in Shas? And that is, we've learned this concept when we've learned the sugyas of Ein Issachal Alisser. When we learned those sugyas of Ein Issachal Alisser, we learned the reason the second Issa can't be Chal, because the first Issa is preventing it. If that first Issa is removed, the way we always explain is that the second Issa is hovering there, and as soon as it can, it will land. Here too, the second Akama is not to be totally ignored, it's hovering there. And as soon as we can let it be chal, it is chal. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Amar Rava. The Mishnah says that if somebody said, Shvu Shloyech L'Kikazeh, and then afterwards, it's a Mishnah that we learned in Daf Yud Ches, it's a Mishnah we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in Masechta Shvuos, Daf Chav Zayin on the base. When somebody said, Shvu Shloyech L'Kikazeh, and then he's made another Shvu Shloyech Lena, so, and then he violates it, he's only chai for the first shvua and not for the second shvua. Because we learned, ain't shvua chal al shvua. But then, Rava and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph and our Masechta taught us, im nishal al rishayna, if the first shvua you were matter, hashni chal al alav. So what do we see from here? That the second shvua is there. It's just hovering. And it has nowhere to land. As soon as the first shvu is removed, the second shvu is chal. And therefore, the Gemara says, the Gemara is assuming that the same will be here as well. Boy, Rava. Now, Rava asks another question. If somebody, a father, a husband, say, Boy, Rava, a father or a husband say, Kaim l'chi u'mecha l'chi, I'm being makim the nether, I'm being matted in nether. V'loitech la'akoma, and the hakoma should not be valid, amken chala afara mahu. Unless the afara is valid. So, as the Rishonim point out, if somebody said just the statement, kaim l'chi or mufa l'chi, the halacha is that this nether is mekuyim. Because that's what he said first. And even though, as we're going to learn soon, amidst Hashem, on Amud Beis, that we have the Machloikus Ramei Rabbi Yossi, Tfois Lashon Rishon, or Afpeg Madvar of Adam Nitfas, Ramei's opinion is we only look at the first part of your statement. Rabbi Yossi holds, you look at the second part of the statement as well. Seid Rishonim, Taisa says this, the Rosh says this, the Rajba says this, the Miri says that. Rabbi Yossi only says his opinion in a case where the two statements could coexist. Like we're going to learn, those two statements that we speak about in Masechta Temura could coexist. But Kaim Lachi and Mufa Lachi cannot coexist. Kaim means that you're confirming the nether. Mufa means that you're nullifying the nether. They can't coexist. Everybody will agree that we only look at the first statement and the Mufa Lachi becomes a meaningless statement. The only reason, explained the Rishonim, that this question is a valid question is because he also added the statement, V'loitech la'akoma elm ken chala afara. So that's why you see that the hakoma is not a full-fledged hakoma. And that's why the Gemara has a legitimate question, how do I look at this statement? The Rashba and the Miri also say that the Gemara's entire question is only because he said, Kaim l'chi, and let's look at the words of the Gemara. And he also added the words, Umufa l'chi. He added that vav. But says the Rashba, if he would have just said, Kaim l'chi, Mufa l'chi, and it seems that the Rashba is saying, even if he ended with this expression of saying, V'loy teich la'akoma, elm kein chala afara, the fact that he didn't connect the Kaim l'chi and the Mufa l'chi, all we're going to look at is the Kaim l'chi. So, now he made this statement. So how do we look at this statement? Do we say that that far is there and that come is meaningless? And therefore the net is meaningless. But maybe it's not a good afara. Why is it not a good afara? Because what is the definition of afara? The definition of afara is that you're saying mufar, that you're nullifying the nether. But here, he didn't just say, I'm being made for the nether. He preceded it with the words, Kaim l'chi. And since he preceded it with the words, Kaim l'chi, that weakens the ability to make a hafara, and it won't be a good hafara. Says the Gemara, Toshma, will answer this question, Miplukta d'ramei v'Rabbi Yossi. Based on the famous machloikas that we just referenced, the machloikas of Ramei and Rabbi Yossi in Masechta Temura. We know that Torah HaKadosh says that when you have a carbon, that you take an animal, you magdish it as a carbon, the Torah HaKadosh says, lo yafirenu. You're not allowed to, lo yamirenu, you're not allowed to substitute it. And the Torah continues saying, vim homer yomer isoi, if you do substitute it, vayuhu usumarasoi kaidish. They're both kaidish. And the Gemara over the Mishnah and the Gemara, Masechta Temura, Dav Chavei says a case where somebody said, Hareza Temuris Oila Temuris Shlomim. So what is it? So says Rameyer, Hareza Temuris Oila de Rameyer, coin Rameyer, it's a Temuris Oila, because as we said, Rameyer's opinion is, Tfais Loshen Rishon. We look at the first part of your statement. If it was your intention that it should be both, then it should. Since you can't be a oil and shlomim, dvar of kayomim, and it's both a oil and shlomim, as we're going to discuss, you sell the animal and you divide half the money will be bought to oil and bought with shlomim. So again, to get the story, you had two animals. One was an oil and one was a shlomim. And now you brought a third animal and you said, Hareza Temuris Oila Temuris Shlomim. And now the question is, what is the status of that animal? And as the Gemara over there tells us, if somebody said explicitly, Tochlo Lov Temuris Oila, I want it first to be an Oila V'akach tochel tumim shlomim. And afterwards, I want it to be a shlomim. Everybody agrees that we only look at the first part of a statement. Because once it's an oila, it can't be a shlomim. Moreover, if somebody made the statement, lo tochlo le tmuras oila, elam ken tochlo le kam tmuras shlomim, where you made it very clear you want it to be both. And as I said earlier in the shiur, it is possible for them to be both. So you have to wait till it becomes a bamum, because the halacha is an animal that has kedusha cannot be redeemed until it becomes a bamum. And then you'll sell it, and half of the proceeds will be for an oilam, and half of the proceeds will be used for a shlomim. Because since it was very clear that that was your intention. The case of the machlokes of Ramei and Rabbi Yossi is where somebody said, Tmuras oilam, tmuras shlomim. And again, it's very specific that he said, Tmuras oilam, tmuras shlomim. For if he said, Tmuras oilam vishlomim, so the Gemara Masechta Tmura explains, we, as we speak, could only say one word at a time. Since we only could say one word at a time, so he said oilam before shlomim, because he couldn't say oil shlomim at the exact same time, and even Ramei will agree it has both kedushas. The question is, where somebody said tmuras oil tmuras shlomim. Ramei's opinion is tfayis lashon rishon. As soon as you said tmuras oil, it's a full-fledged oil. And therefore, the second part of your statement, tmuras shlomim, is meaningless. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says that a person, just like we learned, that if you said Tmuras oil of a shlomim, everybody agrees it's an oil of a shlomim. The same thing says Rabbi Yossi, we even though you said Tmuras oilim, but Tmuras shlomim, it'll have both kedushas. So, according to Rabbi Yossi, what we learn is that we don't really pay attention to the order in which you said your statement. And since we don't really pay attention to the order you made your statement, it could be both could coexist. And therefore, when somebody said kaim l'chi or mof l'chi, there it doesn't mean that I specifically need that comma before that farah. And even though I mentioned that comma before that farah, it doesn't make a difference. And maybe I wanted that farah to take place first. And since I wanted that farah to take place, and it's very clear that I want that farah to take place, so therefore, the net is considered mufur, and nothing more needs to be done. But Rameyer, who follows always Tfois Loshen Rishon, so he did the Hakama before the Afara. If he did the Hakama before the Afara, maybe the Afara is not a good Hakfara. Says the Gemara, no. Because even Rameyer, says the Gemara, who holds Tfois Loshen Rishon, Loi Kamer only said that, the Loi Amen Loi Tochel Zeh Kein Chol Zeh. Rameyer made his point in the case where you said Tmuras Oil and Tmuras Shalom. Since you said Tmuras Oil and Tmuras Shalom, so Rameyer says, once I said Tmuras Oil, it's finished. It's a Tmuras Oil. But here, where I expressed myself, Avahocha, Damalai Teichla, Kama Elm Kein Chalafara, Rameyer Nami Maidid Afarachala. Just like we mentioned a number of cases, where even Rameyer agrees with Rabbi Yossi, where it was clear I wanted both phrases to be there. That's why I take both phrases. This additional statement means that I want both, and therefore it's a full-fledged hafara. By Rav, another question. Somebody says, Kaim l'chi u'mufa l'chi b'bas achas. How do we understand that statement? We could understand it, that I want both to happen at the same time, and they both can't happen at the same time. So one has to happen first, and I just don't know which one that is. Or since I didn't, maybe I'll say that comma happens first, and once that comma happens, we know that farata can't happen. Says the Matoshma, the answer to this question is based on a Mishnah Masechta Kedushin that Fnunama Beis. Dama Rava, kol dov shena b'zeh hazeh afilu b'asachas eino. The Mishnah speaks about somebody who is Mekadosh, a mother and a daughter, or two sisters. So he made one act of Kedushin for both of them. So since, of course, the halacha is You cannot be Mekadosh a daughter or a mother after you Mekadosh the other one first. You can't be Mekadosh a second sister after you Mekadosh the first sister. So the halach is kol she'enoi b'zachazeh. Anything that can't take place one after the other cannot take place at the same time. And the same thing is by akama and afara. Since you can't do akama after afara, and you can't do hafara, you can't do akama after afara, and you can't do akama after afara. You can't do akama after afara, and you can't do afara after akama. So since they can't happen at the same time, if you expressed yourself by saying kaim mufulchi b'basachas, since they can't happen one after the other, the Gemara just taught us that anything that can happen at the same time, at one after the other, cannot happen at the same time. And of course, the Rishonim point out that this is not a contradiction to what we learned about Tumuras Oil and Tumuras Shlamim. Because an animal, as we keep on repeating, can be a Tumuras Oil and Tumuras Shlamim. Why? Because if it's clear that you meant both, what you meant was to sell the animal. You meant to sell the animal, and by selling the animal, that's all you want to do. And you'll use half for oil for shlamim. But you can't be Mekadosh a mother and a daughter. And you can't be Mekadosh two sisters. Since something that can't happen one after the other cannot happen simultaneously. And the statement, kaim l'chi or mufa l'chi and kaim l'chi, doesn't make a difference. The order is a meaningless statement.